Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am, of course, Arif Dean here, your podcaster for Mile High Sports, Colorado Avalanche beat reporter for Colorado Hockey Now. And today we are talking all things Logan O'Connor. The Avalanche announced on Monday that Logan O'Connor was signed to a six-year contract extension, which begins following the 24-25 season. Logan O'Connor, 28 years old, will be under contract with the Avalanche until 2030-31 with this latest deal. I did want to throw in a little bit of a quote from Chris McFarland. I always love when the Avalanche throw in these PR quotes because they're so robotic, but it obviously, there's a little bit of things in there that you can pull that are worth mentioning. Chris McFarland said, "We are thrilled to have OC under contract for the next 7 years." Of course, he's counting the one more year remaining in his 24-25 season on the last contract. He went on to say, "Logan O'Connor is a relentless worker and competitor who brings energy and grit to the lineup every night. His speed and skating ability makes him a dangerous two-way player, and he is one of our top penalty killers." I would say he's your top penalty killer. "Logan is also a great teammate and takes pride in being part of the Denver community." I love everything about this contract, and I am going to be completely honest with you. I did not expect the Avalanche to get Logan O'Connor for such a low number. And something about this deal says to me that Logan did take what he now calls his home. He's obviously from Calgary, but Logan did take a little bit of a hometown discount here. He ultimately got the same contract Miles Wood got last year as an unrestricted free agent, testing the market with a new team, which usually ups your value just a little bit. Excuse me. Miles Wood also was coming off a 13 goal, 14 assist season, pretty similar to the stats that Logan had last year, 13 and 12, granted in 19 fewer games. But the Avalanche gave him 6 years, gave 6 years to a player that didn't really have much of a history of being a playoff performer. Obviously, he kind of erased a little bit of those demons this past season with the Avalanche. He had that excellent, excellent game-winning goal. Sorry, I'm struggling with this mic over here. He had that excellent, excellent game-winning goal for the Avalanche in game one against the Dallas Stars. And he was pretty good in his role. Granted, him and Ross Colton were not quite as good as they were during the regular season when one Logan O'Connor was healthy and really bringing that line together. But for Logan to get the same contract as Miles Wood says to me, like I said, that he took a hometown discount. And I look at none other than the guy that just left the Avalanche this past season, their fourth line center, who has played a lot of wing as well, Yakov Trenin. Trenin's previous two seasons before last year, when he was traded to the Avalanche at the trade deadline, his career high in points were 24. He had 17 goals in the 2022 season, the year that the Avs eliminated Nashville in four games in the playoffs, obviously when he was playing for Nashville, 17 goals and seven assists. And then the following season, 12 goals and 12 assists. He played on the PK, but not as much as Logan O'Connor. He played about 15 minutes a day, pretty on par with Logan. But O'Connor came into the past season, so the 23-24 year. So he came into that year coming off of 24 points in the cup year, 8 goals, 16 assists, and 26 points in 2023, averaged out to 25 points per year. And he played 81 and 82 games this past season. We all remember what Logan was doing. He had an excellent season for the Avalanche, shot 15.3%, which is just crazy to look at now that I think about it. 13 goals, 12 assists, 25 points in 57 games. So Logan has continued the stretch of 25 points per season. And for him to do that, having won a Stanley Cup with the Avalanche, having that pedigree, which we know in this league pays more, for him to get $2.5 million when Yakov Trenin got over $3 million on a long-term deal with the Minnesota Wild this season, after a poor playoff performance, I will say, for Yakov this past year, it's kind of crazy. It's really speaks volumes to what Logan thinks of the Avalanche for him to take that kind of a deal. He spoke to media yesterday. I unfortunately couldn't make it in time. The contract was signed at 4:30, and we received note from Avalanche PR that Logan O'Connor was going to speak at 5:15 p.m. So we had very little time to get there in time for that ahead of the 7 o'clock game. So I wasn't there, but obviously the guys at Gorilla Sports and several of the other media members had had been there to talk to Logan O'Connor. Guerrilla Sports did post a video of it. And I loved what Logan was saying about, number one, Colorado being his home. You know, this is a guy that played for DU. He played there for three seasons before the Avalanche picked him up, gave him a development camp invite, his one and only development camp invite. And that led to him eventually getting this contract and having, you know, the career that he's built, you know, growing from DU to the American Hockey League with the Colorado Eagles, now into the NHL with the Colorado Avalanche, eventually winning a Stanley Cup and becoming the piece that he now has become for this team. Colorado's become home to him, and he didn't want to take that for granted. His wife is from here. As he put it yesterday, she's also got her dream job here. So he didn't want to go anywhere. He's 28 years old, and he's going to be under contract until 35. I love, love, love kind of the way he faces reality and how in touch he is with reality, that he is a bottom six player. And, you know, not a lot of bottom six players, as Logan said, not a lot of bottom six players get these types of contracts and, you know, get long-term deals with their teams. Coincidentally, he did go on to say, obviously, Miles Wood is one of the people that does have a long-term deal. But you don't see this all the time. You've kind of seen it. You used to see it a lot in the past. One, Darren Helm, as an example, he signed a long-term deal with the Red Wings back when they were winning cups and trying to keep within their cap structure and lock guys up. But then Miles Wood last year, getting 6 years, I think was one of the longer-term deals that were handed out in that summer last season. And then we saw Will Carrier sign with the Carolina Hurricanes coming off the Vegas Golden Knights roster for 6 years at $12 million, so $2 million per season. So we're starting to see it becoming more of a norm again. And Logan obviously gets the same deal as Miles Wood. He's very in touch with reality that I'm a bottom six guy. These types of players don't usually get that type of contract. But it's a security that he was very, very okay with taking. There was a question asked. It was the Denver Post reporter, Corey Massasak, who asked him that, you know, your type of players don't always get those long-term deals, but that $2.5 million AAV is probably lower than what you could have got. How do you balance those? And you know, Logan went on to speak about, you know, how much the security means to him, how nice it is to be on this team. My favorite quote, I wrote about it in my Dean's Daily today for Colorado Hockey Now, it's that he went on to just straight up say that we're going to contend for the cup every year that I'm under contract here. And that speaks volumes to the confidence this group has. Is it a reality? I mean, we'll see. The Avalanche are right now built to contend for the Stanley Cup, but for how long is anybody's question. We talked to Jared Bednar after the game, and Jared was very complimentary of Logan O'Connor. We know how much he loves Logan. He's become kind of that Swiss Army knife, that security blanket that JT Compher was for so many years for Jared. Logan is now that guy. And I asked him a question about not just being happy to have Logan under contract, but taking it off the ice. How proud of you? How proud of an individual like that are you to see him kind of get to this point? And Jared was, could not speak enough about how proud he was of this guy. I loved how he went on to talk about how, you know, this is a guy that came in on a development camp invite, and turned heads, and he did. I mean, he said it was out in Thornton, I think it was. This is back in 2018. Logan gets a development camp invite, turns heads. The Avalanche eventually start engaging in contract talks, which was not the plan. You know, if you've been around long enough to think and remember back to the 2018-19 season and that summer, Logan O'Connor had just been named as a senior, an undrafted hockey player. No draft in the NHL. He had just been named captain of the DU Pioneers. He was entering his senior year. He was like a 0.5, 0.6 point per game player in college. And shortly after being named captain, like I'm talking weeks after being named captain, maybe a month max, if my memory serves correct, it was during that offseason. He goes to this development camp. He turns heads. The Avalanche engage in contract talks, sign him. Suddenly, he's not wearing the C at DU. He's not even wearing a DU jersey. He's with the Colorado Eagles, obviously, after attending training camp for the Colorado Avalanche. So it happened really quickly for Logan. He ended up getting into five games that year, obviously 649 per game, not much action. In the 2020 season, he played 16 games. In the 2021 season, he played 22 games. So you started to see his, you know, his position within the organization rise. He went from 649 per game to 826 to 1056 in that 2021 season. Of course, that 2021 season, when he played 22 games, it was in a 56 game season. So it was almost half the season. So it wasn't quite, you know, one every four games. It was almost one every two games for him. Obviously played a lot in the American Hockey League as well. But then that summer came, that 21-22 season, and I think I referenced this on the last podcast, but the Avalanche had a lot of turnover, if you remember that year. Pierre-Édouard Belmar had walked to free agency, signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Brandon Saad walked to free agency, signed with the St. Louis Blues. Yanis Donskoy, selected in the expansion draft by the Vegas Golden Knights, and Matt Calvert had retired. And I'm probably missing some others, but those are the main four that stick out to me. So Logan was going to get an opportunity. You know, Val Nichushkin that past year, the 2021 season, had played a lot with Tyson Jost on the third line, but he was now going to get his opportunity in the top six and fill the void that used to be filled by Yanis Donskoy and after him, Brandon Saad in the following season. So Val moves up to the top six. You have spots to fill. They go out and sign Darren Helm to a $1 million deal to replace what P.E. Belmar was doing for $1.8 million. And the rest is history because Logan O'Connor ends up filling ultimately the role that Matt Calvert had. So he comes in that year and plays 81 games. It's his first full season as a Colorado Avalanche, no American Hockey League games. I also should mention that summer, well, that fall, I should say, during training camp, right before the start of the regular season for the 21-22 season, LOC had 1 year remaining on his deal, just like he does now. And he signed an extension on September 22nd, 2021, 3 years at $1.05 million. I remember at the time when he had signed that deal, the very first thought that came to me was, this guy's about to be a full-time NHLer. And if he ends up being half the guy that Matt Calvert is, it's already going to be a bargain deal for three more years after the cup year. And that's exactly what happened. Matt Calvert, if you guys remember, was making $2.875 million with the Colorado Avalanche as a fourth line forward. And he was an excellent fourth line forward. But you can just kind of see back then when the cap was nowhere near where it is now and nowhere near where it's going to be when the Logan deal starts and when it ends, Calvert was eating a much higher piece of the pie back then. Granted, Cale Makar was on his entry-level deal. Mikko Rantanen was on his entry-level deal. Nathan MacKinnon was on the best deal in NHL history. Not a lot of guys are making a lot of money on the Avalanche, and that's just not the case anymore. So to have Logan O'Connor come in that season, he's already got 3 years locked up, and for him to still do what he did in the 21-22 season, not taking for granted that a guy that had only 43 career regular season games had just been given a 3-year security blanket, making a little over $1 million per year, which NHL standards, not a lot of money for an undrafted player with, again, 43 regular season games and 7 regular season points. That was a pretty big deal, but he didn't take that opportunity and just sit on it. He took that opportunity and he went all in with it. He made a name for himself. And in that cup year, he gets 8 goals, 16 assists, 24 points in 81 games. And then in the playoffs, he plays 17 games. He has 4 points. He's a penalty killer. He ends up creating what became a very, very crucial fourth line for the Avalanche with Darren Helm at center and that trade deadline acquisition that we all know and love, who's still in the organization now, Andrew Cogliano on the other wing. So O'Connor goes into the cup year, has a 3-year extension, goes and plays great, becomes a part of this excellent fourth line, wins the Stanley Cup. Then his 3-year deal starts last year. Well, the following year, I should say the 22-23 season, it was more of the same of what we expect from him. And then 23-24, he took it to the next level. I will never forget the 3-game goal scoring streak of shorthanded goals that he had last season. I'll never forget him getting a hat trick against the Philadelphia Flyers because one, Nathan MacKinnon is a stand-up dude and passed the puck over to him rather than shooting it into the empty net. He let Logan get his first career hat trick. And I'll never forget, most importantly, how obvious it was, so glaringly obvious it was, that the Avalanche were desperately missing Logan during the playoffs last year. When you look at a guy like Casey Mittelstadt, who I believe is the one trade deadline acquisition that remains on this team, because Duhaime and Walker and Trennan have all left the team since, when you look at Casey Mittelstadt, he's never played a game with Logan O'Connor because the Mittelstadt for Byram deal was consummated on March 6th. Logan's last game with the Avalanche last season before it was announced that he was done with a season-ending injury and needed off-season surgery or needed surgery and then the off-season to recover, that was 2 days prior. March 4th was the last game. March 6th was that trade. Then they announced it. I remember when the Avalanche went out on the trade deadline because the deal for Walker that shipped out Johansson and the deal that brought in Casey Mittelstadt were made on a Wednesday, 2 days before the deadline. And then 2 days later on March 8th, the trade deadline day was when the Avalanche traded for Duhaime and for Trenin using 2 third-round draft picks and Jeremy Hansel in 2 separate trades with Nashville and Minnesota. And when they made those deals, it kind of felt like they went one forward too many. And then we went on to learn that the only reason why Brandon Duhaime was brought in, we knew they needed Trenin. They needed a fourth line center. Freddie Olofsson wasn't really cutting it for them. He had taken that role for most of the year. But they went out and made that extra acquisition for Duhaime, and we were kind of wondering where he fits in. And then it was obvious when Logan was announced out for the remainder of the year where Duhaime fit. I'll never forget how important it was to have a guy like that and how much the team missed him. And I am so unbelievably excited to see what he does this season. He's been skating in the captain skates for weeks now. He's been a participant in all of training camp. He's healthy. He's ready to go. He'll probably play in some preseason games, and he looks good. I think one of my favorite things about this upcoming season is Logan is slowly becoming a veteran leader on this team. The Avalanche, you know, they brought in Zach Parise late last season. I believe it was in January, after the All-Star break, I want to say. And he's obviously now since retired. But two pieces that have been there since the 21-22 season, which is pretty much the start of Logan O'Connor's full-time NHL career as an 82-game player, Jack Johnson and Andrew Cogliano, both gone now. And Cogliano specifically, who Logan O'Connor played a lot with, is exactly the type of leader that you can see this guy growing into and becoming. I think he's going to take a lot. From Logan. I think he took a lot from Darren Helm, who was there before him. And I think he's going to implement a lot of that now onto this next generation and these new guys that are going to be around the team, because that's just the type of player he is. He's only 28 years old, but he's one of the longest tenured players on the team now. And he's earned the role of a captain, and he has those leadership qualities. It's why DU put that C on his sweater just a couple weeks before the Avalanche ripped it off and gave him a contract for the NHL. So I'm really excited to see that play out. I'm also excited to go back to what Chris McFarland said. And the only reason why I read the quote that Chris McFarland put out is because he said he's a relentless worker and competitor who brings energy and grit to the lineup every night. Obvious, we all know that. His speed and skating ability makes him a dangerous two-way player. We know that. You got to be a skater to keep up with this Colorado Avalanche team. But then he goes on to say, and he is one of our top penalty killers. Now, just off the top of my head, let's look at some of the PKers that the Avalanche lost this past season. Valentin Nichushkin is not starting the year. Arturi Lehkonen might not start the year. The year before that, they lost Kadri and Kampfer, who were two big pieces. They've lost Andrew Cogliano. They've lost Yakov Trenin. These are all big pieces of their PK. All of that's to say, when it comes to the penalty kill, Logan O'Connor is your new captain. He is going to lead that group for many, many years, and it starts with this year. I love the idea. I know it was a Trenin-Nichushkin combination last year before Nichushkin was suspended. But if or when Val's back, I would love the idea of O'Connor and Val on the same PK unit. It was Cogliano that kind of held that role for so long, kind of like the PK captain for the 2.5-3 years he was here, whatever it was. But Logan's going to jump into that role. I also do want to mention some of the comments he made about that roaring 20s line. You know, it's very obvious how much those three guys, you know, have built chemistry on and off the ice. In fact, it was one of the first things I wrote about at Colorado Hockey Now on Monday when I made, when I officially announced my move to there for my written content. But there was a question that he was asked, and it was kind of a joking question, obviously, about who pays for dinner when you and Miles Wood go out, because they have the same contract now, 6 years, $15 million, 2.5 AAV per season. Obviously, both of their numbers are kind of staggered. Miles Wood made 3.25 last year, makes 3.25 this upcoming season. And then it drops. Logan O'Connor, I think he's going to make 3.1 is the most he makes in any given season. But it's kind of up and down for his deal. I was very interested in seeing how he came up with the numbers to go up and then down kind of like every year, it seems like. So it wasn't backloaded or front-loaded. It's just kind of all over the place. But he was asked, who pays for dinner when you and Miles Wood go out? And he said, that's a good question. Probably Ross. A few things to take out of that. Maybe it's three, maybe it's more. Number one, he wasn't asked about Ross Colton. He was asked about Miles Wood. So automatically, I love Megan Angley tweeted this. Automatically, the assumption is if you're going out for dinner with Miles Wood, you're going out for dinner with Ross Colton. I loved that. Number two, Ross Colton makes $4 million per year, $16 million contract over 4 years. So he's kind of the veteran moneymaker of the group, I would say. So I loved that he mentioned that. But I just love the chemistry these guys have. I've kind of built a habit that many reporters build when a new contract is signed is, what does this mean for someone else? You know, when Nathan MacKinnon signed his extension a year out, we all kind of, we saw the writing on the wall. Eric Johnson's going to play out the final year and he's probably done. He ends up signing in Buffalo instead of retiring. But you start to make those, you know, those connections pretty quickly. And that's just the unfortunate part of a salary cap world in the NHL with a triple hard cap, as they like to call it. When the Avalanche signed Casey Mittelstadt 3 years at 5.75, the first thing all of our brains went to was Ross Colton. And then rumors started to emerge that the Avalanche had shopped Ross Colton over the offseason, and it all started to make sense. He makes $4 million on the third line. You can't afford that. My brain, unfortunately, went to Miles Wood as soon as Logan O'Connor signed. You know, that maybe this is the last year Miles Wood is here. And the reason why I said that and the reason why I thought that was because, and I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. But the reason why I thought that was because Miles's contract is set up in a way where the first 2 years of his deal, he makes $3.25 million, and then it takes a big dip. And I believe after the first 2 years is when his no trade clause kicks in, similar to what Ross Colton had last year. So it kind of seems like, and we all remember when Chris McFarland, I had asked him about when he had his press conference July 1st of 2023, I vividly remember asking Chris about giving someone like Miles, a depth guy similar to O'Connor, a six-year term, and he openly admitted it was to bring the AAV down. So it almost seemed like C-Mac was admitting that he wanted to sign Wood to a two-year deal at 3.25 per season, but it just didn't fit into the Avalanche's cap structure. So he tacked on the other years, made it a $2.5 million AAV, but set the contract up in a way where the no trade clause starts in year three. So after year two, if you want to trade him, you have the offseason before, I think, July 1st to do that. So that's kind of where my mind kept going. And I kept thinking, you know, leading up to this contract extension, I always said when Logan signs, that's going to spell the end of Miles Wood. But Logan signing for 2.5 makes it very affordable. Unfortunately, it still doesn't change my opinion about Ross Colton, especially if Callum Ritchie can prove that he is an NHL caliber player in the next 12 months. It's going to be tough for the Avalanche to keep Cal, to keep Casey, and to keep Ross making $4 million. So I wonder if he's the one that shipped out. But I never could have imagined Logan O'Connor taking such a low number. And I never could have imagined the Avalanche having the ability to lock him up and Miles Wood for a combined $5 million. You know, the way the salary cap is going, that's kind of the new way of the depth forward. Especially on the fourth line. But for Logan's case, I struggle to call him anything less than a top nine player on this team now. You know, when you look at what the Avalanche have on the depth chart with everybody healthy, this is assuming Landeskog and Nichushkin are both playing, you know, by January, February, March, the trade deadline. I can't see a scenario. Well, there's one scenario, which I'll get into. It involves Cal Ritchie. I'll just get into now. If Cal Ritchie makes the lineup and he proves he's a top nine forward in the NHL and can play the NHL game and can handle the defensive capabilities that is required to play in Jared Bednar's system, that will change it. But that's the only scenario, when it's a low scenario, especially for this season, in my opinion, at least, unless he completely turns heads. But other than that scenario, I can't see a situation where Logan O'Connor is not a permanent top nine forward on this team. because even with a healthy lineup, and you can kind of change the wingers however you want. I know some people like Val with Nate instead of Mikko. I know some people like Drouin with Nate instead of Lehkonen, things like that. But just spitballing line combinations, if your top line is Drouin, McKinnon, and Rantanen, and your second line is Lehkonen, Mittelstadt, and Nichushkin, and your third line probably by then is likely Landeskog, Colton, O'Connor, which leaves you with Wood, Belmar, and Kovalenko on the fourth line. You know, you can see Kovalenko trying to fight for that spot over Logan O'Connor, but I think it'll take quite a bit of offensive upside for him to be able to win that role. Or Jared just says, roaring 20s, we're keeping you together. And he goes with Kovalenko and, you know, Callum Ritchie, if he was to make the team, playing with Landeskog, and then you got the roaring 20s on the fourth line. Otherwise, you can easily have Belmar centering Wood and O'Connor or Wood and Kovalenko. So it all kind of comes together to say that Wood and Logan O'Connor both fit into this team's cap structure now. And I say that not knowing what Mikko Rantanen is going to get yet, which I said the other day I predict is going to be between 12 and 12.5, if not exactly 12.5. I say that not knowing what happens with the goaltending situation, in the sense that, you know, there's a scenario where Alexander Georgiev resigns and probably for a little bit of a pay raise from 3.4. There's a scenario where he doesn't resign and Eustace Annanen somehow becomes your starter. And then you're going out and signing a backup, and it's very comparable to Toronto having Joe Woll making 800K as their starter. They bring in Stolarz making a little more than 2 million as their backup. You can see that being a scenario which would save the Avs a ton of money, because then both your goalies are combining for like $3 million. But I say that I can see Wood and O'Connor both fitting in the structure, not really knowing what those other guys are going to make. So maybe my opinion changes in the future. But I always thought that when the Logan deal was announced, it was going to be like 4 years at 12.4, where he's making $3.1 million, for example, or 3.2 or 3.3. And I always thought when that happens, it probably spells the end of Miles Wood here. But I'm starting to think that that's not going to be the case. So we'll see how it shakes out. I hate that that's the first place our mind goes to, and we're so easy to talk about who's going to be out the door when this guy's in. But that's, again, the unfortunate reality of a hard cap in the NHL. So with that, I'm going to put an end to the show here. The Avalanche obviously played a preseason game yesterday. We didn't really learn much from it. I can't sit here and break down, unfortunately, a preseason game by myself that had probably three or four NHLers in it. So I'll let the writing take care of that after we get to practice tomorrow, talk to, a few more of these guys and see what it shakes out for the Thursday preseason game in Dallas. But I did want to take the time on this off day, because the Avs are not skating today, to talk a little bit about Logan O'Connor, because that is a much deserved contract and he is a crucial piece of this team. So, with that, I'll put an end to the show here. I am so excited to do this a little bit more. My home office is still kind of under construction, so we're sitting at the dining table with some family pictures behind. But we will be here pretty much every other day throughout the season. Live shows, Q&As, all the fun stuff. I'm so pumped. We're almost there. I also did want to say thank you to everybody who has reached out publicly on Twitter, DM'd me, texted me, called me about my move to Colorado Hockey Now for my written content. I'm so excited to see how excited all the readers are, because you guys are obviously why I do this. So thanks again for all that. I appreciate it. I'm so pumped for this year. So if you made it this far in the show, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out ya.